12 noon. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And the show is your connection to local music. My guests today are Joel Alberts of Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts and the City of Bloomington to talk about their 2009-2010 Performing Arts Series, which is quite a varied affair. And in the later part of the show, we will talk with Anna Mell, who is Program Director for Elder Hostel at the University of Illinois, and John Kemp, who was a returning participant in an annual Elder Hostel Choral Singing Workshop, which is going on next week in Champaign. And that's very interesting sounding to me, so we'll hear all about that on the show on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Movement from a D major flute quartet by Mozart, played here by a man whose name I'm really not sure how to pronounce, Mark Grauwels, G-R-A-U-W-E-L-S, along with the Brussels Virtuosi, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And the show today features three guests. First, for the better part of the program, we'll be talking with Joel Alberts, who is the, are you still the interim a cultural arts manager for the City of Bloomington?
That is correct, yes.
And I don't have the, I should have the right microphone on.
Should we keep trying? Do you want me to lean over to this one over here?
Lean over to that one over there.
Hello.
That's better.
Hey.
But apparently there's something wrong with the other one.
That sounds like me now.
That's why you're supposed to do sound checks before we start things. Something to discuss and with engineering. So the question was, are the interim cultural arts manager?
That is correct, yes.
That's the official title for the City of Bloomington, and specifically in charge of programming at the Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington. Later on in the show, Anna Mell, who's Program Director for Elder Hostel at the University of Illinois, part of the Office of Continuing Education there, and John Kemp, who is a participant in next week's Elder Hostel Choral Singing Workshop. We'll hear about that later part of the show today. So thanks very much for coming on, Joel.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it looks like an exciting season. I mean, just flip it. You just handed me the brochure. I had the press release, but things always look better in a brochure because there's pictures.
Because it's pretty then.
It's very pretty. And you have a wonderfully wide-ranging program, which always excites me. Are you pretty much in charge of deciding who gets to play on this series?
Well, in the future, yes. This season was booked, as you mentioned before. I do have an interim title, and there have been some changes in the organization. So this was done by previous administration, but we are moving forward, and there are some changes and some additions to this year that I did have booking authority to do. So we're moving forward from there. But I've been involved with the BCPA since we opened in September of 2006. This is a new venture for the city of Bloomington. The building itself is a 1920 Scottish Rite temple that had the city acquired and put through an $18 million renovation. And it's a real jewel of a building, 1,200 seats, a nice intimate space. And we've had a great variety of performers there in the three full seasons that we've completed. And we are currently in phase two of our process. We have a new outdoor stage and have some outdoor concerts that have been going on this summer, and we have two more ongoing with that season, and then we'll move into our regular main stage presenting season starting in September again this year.
Well, you've already broached the topic that was the first one I wanted to ask you about anyway, which is this facility. I was reading about it online, and I unfortunately haven't had a chance yet to get there. So all these concerts are actually should be good motivation for me to drive.
Well, I will. You come on up. I'll take care of you.
Thank you. So tell me about the whole idea of the cultural arts district there, which I imagine is in process. Is this the first phase?
This is the first phase. The BCPA, again, was acquired by the city. There was a vote among the residents of Bloomington that they wanted to have a performing arts venue available, not only to bring in performers and make that a kind of quality of life initiative for the city, but also to have a quality venue for the many performing arts ensembles and groups that exist already in the city of Bloomington. We're the home for the Illinois Symphony Orchestra when they perform in Bloomington. There's a great barbershop chorus in the area. Illinois Wesleyan University uses our facility as well for their performances. And then we have a very, you know, I think fairly heavy performing arts season of our own there. We have about 31 events this year so far, and we'll be adding a few more things as the season goes by. Just trying to give people, a taste of the arts and culture that they're interested in having and bringing it right to our community.
Well, there was one thing, you said that you host some programs at Illinois Wesleyan University. I learned partway into doing this program, which we've been doing since February, and since we also add a music calendar to it, and I would get things from Illinois State University that says they're doing concerts at the Center for the Performing Arts,
which is another issue, too. There are two Center for the Performing Arts is in Bloomington. Ours, I will say, was named first. But
well, for a long time, I was saying they were the same thing until somebody quickly corrected me.
We, for the most part, people in our area, when they've purchased tickets for our show, they do find their way to the correct venue. We have had a few people who, in the early time, were standing outside of a different building and saying, "Where are you guys?" But, those things are working their way through.
So what else do you expect is going to get added to this? So what's
the
plan?
We have a couple. One of the two things that were added this year, first of all, we have a performance with the Temptations that was scheduled in January of this year, and through some routing issues, that concert had been canceled. So we added a performance of Herman's Hermits featuring Peter Noon, who is going to be performing what will be one calendar day earlier than the Temptations scheduled performance. And we've also added a performance of what a lot of people describe as the Lutheran nonsense, called a show called Church Basement Ladies. It's a musical comedy. It deals with sort of the lighter side of the what goes on in the basement of churches, and it's just a nice fun show, and it will be a nice addition to the season as well. But the other major addition for us is we have a second venue. We're blessed in our building with an 11,000 square foot ballroom downstairs in the building. The performance space is actually upstairs on the second and third floors, and in the basement is an 11,000 square foot ballroom that we've been hosting a series that we're calling the BCPA Underground, where we're bringing in more up-and-coming artists, creating more of a rock club or coffee club atmosphere with tables, and you can get a drink and you can sit back and listen to artists who range from more folk music, folk blues. Last year, we actually then on the more get-up-and-dance side, we had a performance of Bob Marley's band, The Wailers.
Wow.
Where we had a big group of people who were up and dancing and having a great time at it. But it's a unique space, and one of the issues that we feel is, you know, that the proscenium theater is wonderful for a lot of acts, but there are sometimes that it is a little bit restrictive when it comes to getting up and dancing and doing a lot of the things that you should be able to do at some styles of performance. And so we, again, have that space available to us, so we're trying to do some programming that fits it.
Well, you brought along a whole stack of CDs, only some of which we'll end up getting to during the too short time that we have here. So why don't we just launch into what I guess is your second opening act, because you have in the summer, I see, you have a children's theater thing going on.
We do have a children's theater performance. The Missoula Children's Theater will kind of be the soft opening for us, as they have been for the last 2 years. They're going to be doing a performance of Rumpelstiltskin, and the stars of that show are actually going to be 60 local kids. We have an audition process the Monday of the week that they're here. The show is cast later that morning. Rehearsals begin that afternoon, and over the course of the next 5 days, these 60 local kids become the stars of the show. There are two actor directors who come from the Missoula Children's Theater and work with the kids. They costume them, they teach them the choreography and the songs and all the dialogue and everything, and by Friday night, they're ready to get up on stage and do a performance. And it's a great way to get the kids involved in the community, get them involved in a professional theater production, get them up on the stage, which is, I think, life-changing for a lot of them, and has been a great experience for us as well, kind of being involved on that end of the presenting as well.
That sounds like a blast. So that's going to be on the 7th of August. It's
correct.
A Friday.
Yep.
Then your first official opening act is?
Susie Bogus, and she's a great country singer who's also had some nice leaning into the swing route as well. She's got a great big band style voice that she's used for a couple of recordings as well. Susie's really interesting as well. She's from nearby Aledo, Illinois. She's a graduate of Illinois State University, where she actually got a degree in metallurgy, and she's had done a lot of work in the fine arts department doing metal smithing and things like that, and just kind of an interesting woman, and then went on and developed this great career in Nashville, and she was with us 2 seasons ago doing a Christmas concert, and we had a lot of people who had come and seen her when she was a student at ISU coming out to the concert and enjoying her full stage performance with us there, and we thought it would be a great way to kick off our year as well, bring her back and let her do her standard material as well.
And if any of our listeners are regular listeners to A Prairie Home Companion, which we, of course, air on this station Saturdays and Sundays, she's a fairly frequent guest of Garrison Keillor on that show.
Yep.
So he's obviously a fan.
Yeah, she's a great personality. She's a fun woman. Interesting side story, her sister-in-law was my 11th grade math teacher.
No way.
It's true. So it's a small world kind of thing.
Well, that's great. So we'll start the show off with that as well. Here's
great.
Susie Bogus. She's going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday, September the 12th at 7:30, and you're hearing her on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Guitars in the cases. Put those cases on the truck. Drive that truck on to Memphis.
That was Susie Boggess here on FM 90.9. Performing a tune. Now, which one was that tune?
See, that's the big question right there, because the number that I gave you doesn't actually jibe with the word on the back of it. What do you want to just? Oh, track. That's
the
track.
One we just
that
played.
Was. We've forgotten which one we played.
Right?
I know. We're so busy talking about other things right now. That one was One More for the Road. Susie Boggess.
There we go. She's going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on the 12th of September to open up their 2009-2010 concert series.
Yeah.
And Joel Albert's my guest here on Live and Local today. I'm Kevin Kelly talking about that very series. He's the Director of Cultural Arts for the city. What's the relationship of the Center for the Performing Arts and the City of Bloomington?
Until recently, we had been a department of our own. We are now have been consolidated with the Parks and Rec Department as, again, another quality of life initiative for the city. And the city is very supportive of our programs, and they do provide us some revenue help when it comes to paying off the utilities and the construction debt on the building, and providing us with the financial backing to do the work that we're doing there. And again, the ultimate goal, again, is the ultimate mission of the center is to provide a performing arts space for the city, and whether it be the programs that we're bringing in, which, again, looking at the variety of the season, are designed to represent the wide variety of demographics that are in the city. And also to be a home for the local performing arts groups that are around, including the Illinois Symphony and the Barbershop Chorus and all of the other various dance groups and things who use our facility during the year.
So how do you make judgments about whether an act is going to appeal in your particular community?
We've taken a very strong community-minded approach when it comes to this. We have a performing arts or programming committee. Who meets about monthly during the programming time of our year. And we talk about the types of acts that are out there. We get some suggestions of things that would be representative of, again, some of the demographics that we have in our town. We've been really trying to work with the strong Latino community in Bloomington. We have a very strong Indian community as well. A lot of people coming in for work at State Farm, and have done some programming that's reflective of that as well. And just trying to find things that haven't been done in the past. We have not just dealing with nationalities, but also the other, you know, age demographics and things as well. We have a very strong family series that's very important to us, with quality entertainment that we're presenting at a really low price so that parents can afford to bring their kids to multiple things during the year. We also do a lot of nostalgia programming as well that's been very popular with the seniors in our community and people who are kind of getting into more of the boomer crowd that we have as well in town. And just trying to do a variety of things that are appealing to everyone in town. The goal for me, when you look at the season, when I talk to people about what I like about our year, is that I want you to be able to open our brochure and find at least one thing that's going to appeal to you. Whether you're a college student, whether you're a child or a parent with small children, or a senior, that there's something in there that makes you go, yeah, I want to go see that one thing. And year in, year out, that's the goal, is to have at least one thing for everybody in the community, and hopefully more.
Well, I would think more. I mean, just looking through this list myself, I want to go to see just about everything.
Well, that's very nice.
Including our next selection here from a group called Gaelic Storm.
Well, this next group actually is Great Big C that we're going to be playing.
Oh, that's the one we're doing.
That's the one that we're going to be playing. But it's a very easy thing to mistake. Great Big C is a group that comes out of Newfoundland, Canada. They have a very strong Scots-Irish background and it's sort of seafaring music. And they're very popular in with a very strong fan base that has already purchased tickets en masse to come to see the performance. Also in the season is Gaelic Storm, and they're going to be coming back for a second performance with us, I think this February. Gaelic Storm, a lot of people know from the movie Titanic, when there was the below decks dance scene with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, and there was that kind of fancy Irish band that was playing down there. That was Gaelic Storm, and it's a great party band. They were here two seasons ago as well, and literally our balcony was shaking as everyone was up and dancing and jumping at the same time. No structural damage, which I'm proud to report, but we're really excited about having them back again this year. And then they invited everybody back to their hotel to the bar to drink with them, and I understand that a whole lot of people went. So they're a great party band and a lot of fun too. And we expect a lot of the same thing out of the Great Big Sea Show as well. I have to tell you, the CD that we're going to listen to, I just got the other day, and the first time I listened to it was this morning, and they're fun. They're a lot of fun. So looking forward to them.
So we picked a track here that we don't actually think is the track we think it is.
Yeah,
so
why don't we, you we'll know what? Why don't it. We? Do you want to punt and play track one?
We'll punt and play track one and see what
it's
happens.
It's a concert thing, so you know they're going to start with good material, right?
And probably with applause. We'll
exactly.
find out in a second.
We'll see. I guarantee that's the case.
Great Big Sea appearing at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on the 2nd of October in the fall, and you're hearing them on Live and Local.
My name is Captain Kidd, as I sailed, oh, my name is Captain Kidd, as I sailed. My name is Captain Kidd, and God's laws I did forbid, and most wickedly I did, as I sailed. My father taught me well, to show you wind up just like me, as I sailed. Come on! My name is Captain Kidd, as I sailed, oh, my name is Captain Kidd, as I sailed. My name is Captain Kidd, and God laws I did forbid, and most wickedly I did as I sailed, most wickedly I did as I sailed.
Obviously an appreciative crowd for Great Big Sea, the name of the group from Canada. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Friday, October the 2nd. Part of the 2009-2010 performing arts season there. And you heard him on Live and Local on FM 90.9. We'll continue our conversation with Joel Alberts, who's the cultural arts manager for the city of Bloomington, in just a moment. Programs on FM 90.9 are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting the community to the U of I Research Park on Friday, July 17th at 7:30 p.m. for the return of the three-performance Outside at the Research Park concert series. More information is at krannertcenter.com. Joel, how much do you consider the Krannert Center a competing organization, and how much just another organization that holds concerts?
The Krannert Center is a very unique entity. I used to work at Hanscher Auditorium at the University of Iowa, and the style of programming that we did at Hanscher and that's being done at Krannert was very similar. And we were looking at their brochure prior to coming on air here, and it was very reminiscent to me of the work that I did there. And there's a uniqueness when it comes to being a university presenter. In the kind of international programming that you're able to do, the amount of dance, the amount of new works and things that you can do when you are affiliated with a university campus, that's very unique and very important. What we are doing as a city-funded entity is somewhat similar in the way that we're trying to pick programming that fits the broad base of interests and needs for the community, not just programming that's going to make the money back, but also things that are reflective of the community. We have a couple shows this year that we don't expect to make much, if any, money on, but you know that they are important to our Latin American community. They provide some world music, they provide some education and things that are really important to being part of a city entity as well. So whether we're really competing with them, I'm sure that people with their entertainment dollars, that there are some, you know, there's money being spent with us, there's money being spent with them that's, you know, contrasting and canceling each other out. But you know, the way I think about it is that the more venues that there are out there, it's kind of the mindset of there being drugstores on opposite corners of each other. If you have the opportunity to see a wide variety of performances, if you have an opportunity to get that in your system, and you're always looking for the next thing that's appealing to you, it's great to have a variety of venues around and to be able to choose something that's going to be appealing to you, especially when you're outside of the Chicago area and you do have to drive a little bit further and look for the things that are good for you. But I mean, there's a great number of performances around this area, as you've been discovering through this series that you're doing here.
Sure. Well, just looking at your program, and then of course looking at the Kranich program, and we talked a few weeks ago to a director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur, and we'll be talking, I hope, to directors of the Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield and the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston. Who needs Chicago?
You know, we say the same thing. I mean, it's really fun to get up to the city and have your night and do all of those things. But what we're really trying to teach people is that you can make the quick trip to downtown Bloomington. Parking is free. There are great restaurants around. You can go and grab a bite to eat before the show. You can go out and get dessert afterwards or grab a drink and talk about the show a little bit more. And you have an opportunity to see world-class artists in a 1,200-seat venue. When I had a moment last year. We had the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis performing. And in our venue, you're 75 feet away from the stage from the very last row of the balcony. 75
wow,
feet.
That's
I mean,
intimate.
It's like a Broadway-style house. And the prices are affordable. You can get there and you can see these world-class artists there and go home and sleep in your own bed that night. And it's a wonderful opportunity to do that. And we've really been working on trying to bring the best performing artists that we can into our nice little theater. And I think people have really been appreciating it. And we've had some great growth, and we're excited about kind of continuing down that path.
Well, including next April, looking ahead towards the end of the season, you have a Japanese performer who we're going to hear a sample of next.
We do. His name is Agatsuma, and he's coming to us as a part of a Arts Midwest World Fest grant. We actually have two performers this year. We'll have two performers in the next season as well who are coming through us through this Arts Midwest program. And he's a shamisen player and is very interesting, and we're going to be taking him out and about and getting him into a lot of different classrooms and some live performance spaces out in our community as well. Earlier in the season, we'll have a group called the Israeli Ethnic Ensemble who will be performing with us through this same program. And again, a couple people who will be coming into us in the 10-11 season as well. But he's a wonderful performer, and the shamisen is a much beloved instrument in Japan, and he's the winner of several competitions, and has rock star status when he's in Japan, that people are very interested in his performances. But it's a beautiful sound, and he's a very compelling performer, and we're excited about him coming.
Well, let's hear it. For those who don't know what a shamisen is, as I did not, I'm looking at a picture of it. It looks kind of like a lute, really. And this is what it sounds like. Agatsuma, the name of the performer, will be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in April of 2010. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. A tune called, it looks like, You, Y-U-U. Afraid I can't tell you what it means. If you're Japanese, you may well know. The performer, Agatsuma, with a backup band, obviously, he plays the instrument called the Tsugaru Shamisen, Japanese traditional stringed instrument. He's going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on April 30th of 2010, part of the 2009-10 concert series, which is the topic of our conversation, which we're about to wrap up here on Live and Local, with Joel Alberts, who is Cultural Arts Director for the City of Bloomington. And we're just hearing a few samples of the wonderful variety of exciting music that's on their concert series. The brochure just recently out, I assume?
Brochure came out in April, and all of the information is available online if you people are interested in looking a little bit more at the full lineup of the year, and we're at artsblooming.org.
It's a great web address, by the way.
Thank you. I like it, too. It's a good one. But we've got a great look in your next year, and you can read up and you can watch little video clips and get some additional information about all of the artists coming next year.
Excellent. Well, our guests in just a moment are both involved with the University of Illinois Elder Hostel Choral Singing Workshop, which is going on next week in Urbana. I'm very curious about this, so we've got two guests to talk to you about that program in just a few moments, which gives us a chance to go out, Joel, with one more tune here from a group called Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Yes.
Tell us about a lot of people him or them.
A lot of people remember Big Bad Voodoo Daddy from the swing music resurgence back in the 90s. They were they were featured in the movie Swingers, and had a couple of big radio hits along at the same time that Squirrel Nut Zippers and the Brian Setzer Orchestra and all of those bands were making swing music very popular again. And they have been with us before, and kind of like the Gaelic Storm show that I was talking to you about before, by popular demand, we're bringing them back. They're this year going to be doing a tribute to Cab Calloway on his centennial. And so it's going to be a great night of Cab Calloway music, as well as, I'm sure, a number of their greatest hits, and a great way to take a respite from all of the holiday programming at the beginning of December, but come to us on December 11, and you'll get this great evening of Cab Calloway sounds.
I like this. How big can you get? 100 years of Cab I can't talk today. Cab Calloway. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Joel Alberts, thanks very much for coming on the show.
I appreciate
today.
It. Thanks for having me today.
Sounds like an incredibly exciting series and a wonderful venue, which I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Well, definitely make the trip up. We're looking forward to having you there.
December 11th, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy will be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, the name of that group, performing a song they're calling Come On With the Come On. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in December. For more information, you can go to artsblooming.org, look at the whole season, hear some sound clips, see some video clips, get an idea of the variety that's going on there. And we were pleased to have Joel Alberts from the center on the show today. And in a moment, we'll talk with Anna Meal, who's program director for Elder Hostel at the University of Illinois, and John Kemp, who is a participant in the choral singing workshop going on for Elder Hostel next week. We'll hear about that in just a moment on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here's a rundown of a few of the musical and theatrical activities you can participate in the next couple of days. The Full Monty, the musical, is being performed by the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana. Tonight, tomorrow, and Friday are the last performances, 8 o'clock each day. And at the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan, it's the musical Funny Girl, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 o'clock. There's also, on Saturday, a matinee performance, and on Sunday, Forever Plaid is at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. That's 6 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and at noon on Sunday for brunch. The Illinois Shakespeare Festival is presenting Midsummer Night's Dream tonight at Ewing Manor in Bloomington. For more information and all the times on their events, thefestival.org. In fact, I don't have the other shows on this calendar yet, so there's others going on this weekend as well. So look at that calendar on their website. Illinois Summer Youth Music Jazz Faculty Recital is tonight at 7 o'clock at Smith Recital Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. And that reminds me to say that we're going to have a number of youth jazz ensembles from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camp on this show tomorrow from 12 to 1, live in our studio. So that'll be fun. Bye Bye Birdie is being presented by the Actors Rural Theater Company in Tuscola at the community building there. That's tomorrow night, tonight at 7 o'clock. And I think they're also the next couple nights as well. Strings Attached, to bluegrass band we heard on this show the other day, are going to be performing at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood Friday evening at 5:30. Jidemi Productions opens Oklahoma tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Decatur Civic Center Theater. That goes through the weekend. That's an all high school student production we talked about on this show yesterday. And the Peoria Municipal Band performing in the Springdale Cemetery Friday night at 7 o'clock, a free program. Singer-songwriter Denise LaGrassa is at the Red Fire Grill in Bloomington Friday evening at 6:30. And it's Brazil Live, including Brazilian percussionists, performing in downtown Decatur Friday evening from 5 until 8. And those are just some of the musical and theater activities going on. This is an extraordinarily rich cultural community, which we're taking advantage of on Live and Local. I'm your host, Kevin Kelly. We're here for about another 13 minutes. I'll have a weather forecast for you at 1 o'clock at 101 News Headlines. 106, Julie Amacher has more classical music for you. And our conversation next centers around the University of Illinois Elder Hostel programs, one of which is a summer choral singing workshop, which is going on next week here at the university. And this was news to me. I don't even remember how I got the news, but it was really interesting sounding. And so we have with us today Anna Meal, who's director of the Elder Hostel program, and also John Kemp, who is a participant in the workshop. I'll introduce Anna first and ask you, if you don't mind, to tell us a little bit about the U of I Elder Hostel program.
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here. The University of Illinois has run Elder Hostel programming for the last 20 years or so, and the choral singing program is one of several programs we run locally, and it's a choral workshop that also includes lectures as well as choral singing. So the participants come and they have an opportunity to rehearse together for an entire week. We provide all the meals and the lodging. It's held at the Hawthorne Suites. Local people can participate, and just they don't have to stay at the hotel. They can just participate in the activities. And they rehearse through the week, and then they also enjoy lectures. And we invite university faculty in to offer lecture programs when they're not rehearsing. We have other activities we offer. For example, we're going to the Krannert Uncorked event. We're touring the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And at the end of the week, the entire program culminates in a choral singing concert that's free and open to the public. And we're holding that in Champaign at the Faith United Methodist Church.
That's on Friday the 17th. Where's my date here? The 17th.
That's Friday the 17th, yeah, at 2 p.m.
A week from tomorrow. Just an hour-long program. Now, there's actually two simultaneous choral workshops going on, is that right?
That's correct. Well, actually, there's one choral workshop, and then between rehearsals, the group splits, and we have two tracks for lecture. One is by Tom Schleiss, and he'll be talking about Lerner and Lowe and the Great Romantics. And then the other is Sam Rees, who will be teaching a course about jazz singers in the United States.
And both are affiliated with University of Illinois. Tom is longtime coach for the opera program at the university, and Sam Rees on the faculty at the School of Music. In fact, somebody just told me recently they were at took a course in which he was teaching the history of jazz, and said he was a wonderful instructor. So I imagine it's going to be a great experience for
yes,
the folks.
Yes, and he's taught jazz programs for Elder Hostel and also for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute that's here in at the university.
Talk to me about the term elder hostel. I mean, it's something that was really totally new. I guess I've seen it before, but what does it actually mean? I mean, I think of hostel as a youth hostel, a place you go and stay when you're traveling in Europe. This is not that.
No, it is not, but it's a similar concept in that the idea is that the focus, well, Elder Hostel is a national nonprofit program that offers adventures and lifelong learning. And it's for people who are 55 and older, and they offer a wide variety of programs throughout the United States and internationally. And generally what they do is they contract with local, or they partner with local universities and other entities to offer programming about that particular area. So the University of Illinois has been partnering with Elder Hostel for 20 years now to bring a variety of programs. We offer an EbertFest program every April, where we actually run that in tandem with the EbertFest program. We offer it's an all-inclusive program for our participants, where we offer transportation to and from the festival, and we also offer meals, and we also take them to the lectures that are offered at EbertFest. We also offer a current events program every May, where we bring in, for 5 days, we bring in faculty to lecture on topics of interest in current events. And that's another program that we offer at the Hawthorne Suites.
You had indicated that for this choral singing workshop, it is open to local people. But people come apparently from quite a distance away for this event.
Yes, we have participants from all over the United States. For this particular program, we have people coming from 17 states, as far away as California, Pennsylvania, South Dakota. And then we also have quite a few regional people as well.
Well, that is a great lead-in to talk with John Kemp, who is a participant in the workshop. And I understand, John, you have been doing this choral singing workshop for a while.
Yes, I've been singing with the group for about 8 or 10 years now. Actually, I've been singing all of my life. I started in high school, continued in college with the U of I Varsity Men's Glee Club, and have continued singing since then. And when this workshop started a number of years ago, I began to participate and have thoroughly enjoyed the experiences that I've had. And one of the reasons I particularly enjoy it is the range of music that we sing. The conductor for the program is Rick Murphy, who is director of music at University High School here and also involved with Summer Youth Music, and is a wonderful conductor. In fact, of the dozens of conductors with whom I've sung over the years, he's probably my favorite, primarily because he's so much fun. He makes music a fun experience. He expects a lot out of the singers, but he does it in a way where you enjoy what he's doing. And as I said, he sings a wide range of music, from classical choral music to popular music of the 40s and 50s, primarily because these are people 55 and older, so they've been people, many of them were in the 50s, 40s and 50s, so they are familiar with these songs. We always sing some spirituals. We sing some madrigals. We sing a wide range which is popular with the people. And the interesting thing, many of the people who come to the workshop have been here for many years. In fact, one year I know about two-thirds of the group were repeat. So it's popular with the people. And basically we spend about a half day singing and then about a half day in the program, either with Tom Schleiss on musical theater or with Sam on jazz.
Have you run those two concurrent courses in previous years, or is this year is those particular two?
I think for the last several years, there have been the two programs, one with Tom and one with Sam Reese. At one time, I know I think it was only on the musical theater with
right.
Tom.
It varies from year to year. Last year, we ran the Tom Schleiss's lecture portion, and we did not have a jazz track. The year before that, we did. and several years before that we did.
So, John, are you able to participate in both of those, go, you know, sort of trade off, or do you choose one or the other for the week?
You choose one or the other, either the musical theater track or the jazz track.
And which one have you chosen?
I've chosen the musical theater.
And why is that?
Primarily because I love musical theater. I've spent a lot of time over the years in London, the musical theater, and we study a particular composer each year. This year, it's Lerner and Lowe. Last year, it was Frank Lesser. We've studied Rodgers and Hammerstein, of course. We've studied Stephen Sondheim, George Gershwin, Cole Porter. It varies from year to year. Tom chooses the subject, and then we usually know a year or two in advance who is going to be talking about the following year.
Does Rick Murphy then make any attempt to program some pieces by those, whoever the composer of the year is on the concert?
Yes, we always sing songs of that particular composer. So this year I'm assuming we'll sing songs from My Fair Lady or Camelot or Brigadoon or Gigi or one of the very popular Lerner and Lowe music.
And you've hit a few of my favorite shows, Fair Lady, one of them.
The nice thing about the two tracks, Kevin, is that sometimes we have couples, we have spouses. Perhaps one person is very excited about the show tune piece of it, the musical theater piece, but their spouse is not so excited about that piece and would like to come to the jazz. So it offers an option for couples to come if they have different tastes or want to participate in different lectures.
And ensure that they don't have to spend the entire time with each other.
Exactly.
If they don't want to.
I did ask Rick if he would like me to say anything from his viewpoint about the program, and here's what he said.
Okay.
The people who come are wonderful people, singers who love to sing and work with others to form an ensemble. They come early and they stay late. They share a love of music and one another. They share wonderful stories of previous experiences. It's a wonderful experience of getting to meet other singers. And since many of the people come back, we see each other once a year and we renew acquaintances.
Well, it's fun to just even sit across and watch you talk about this because the enthusiasm is obviously considerable. Coming from you and talking about Rick and talking about the program and just the fact that you come back from year to year. It sounds like an exciting week. And it starts what?
It starts Sunday evening. The program actually begins Monday morning. I guess one of the things I've been disappointed in is there are not that many people from the community. I would love to have many more people from the Champaign-Urbana area participate because we don't stay at the hotel, obviously, but we do participate in the program. We have lunch with the group. So it's a wonderful way for people in town to have a wonderful singing experience.
So that sounds like a marketing challenge there for you, Anna.
Indeed. And there are still some spaces available. And if you'd like to, if you have questions, you can contact our office and ask for me, Anna Meal, or Paula Quick. And our number is 217-333-7369.
And if you want to email Anna, it's just her name, which is spelled A-N-N-A-M-E-H-L at illinois.edu. Mm-hmm. Anna Meal. Anna Meal is the director of the Elder Hostel Program at the University of Illinois, run through the Department of Continuing Education there. And John Kemp, a participant in next week's choral singing workshop sponsored by Elder Hostel, culminating for the public in a concert which will be held on next Friday, the 17th, at Faith United Methodist Church on South Prospect Avenue in Champaign. Starts at 2 o'clock. And promises a concert of Broadway and popular tunes, some sacred music, some spirituals, of which we have a sample actually running underneath my speech right now. This comes from an African-American group called the Blue Spring Missionary Baptist Association Delegation of Southwest Georgia. could be a similar kind of organization going on there. Or at least a similar kind of workshop that culminated in this performance of Sit Down Servant. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. You're listening to WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville, and W266 AF Urbana. Forecast calls for partly sunny afternoon with a high of 83, partly cloudy tonight, the low 68, partly to mostly sunny, warmer and more humid tomorrow, a high near 90.